this is probably the time of year, above all others for me, that I get excited. Even more than Christmas. Sorry. Thanksgiving. Because we're talking about giving to God, giving thanks, and so easy, it's easy during the Christmas season to think about buying and getting. We're Thanksgiving, we're talking about reflecting. You know, thinking comes before thinking. You need to consider what you've received. Now, I'll tell you the essence of my message this morning is that in any situation, I believe Christians can have a positive perspective. I think in any situation, we can find something for which to be thankful. You know, even up in Covelo, we have a satellite TV, and we were watching the news, and some of you heard that touching story about some desperate people trying to flee the poverty and oppression in Cuba, tried to take a boat, as thousands do every year, to Miami. We grew up in Miami, and a lot of my classmates were some of these Cuban kids who had immigrated, and they sure appreciated the freedoms we enjoy, a lot more than we do. And some of these people don't make it, but they're so desperate. They took this waterlogged boat, and it capsized, and a couple of them had inner tubes, and I think 17 or 18 people drowned. And the story goes on to tell how some fishermen out there in the trackless ocean saw this object bobbing around, and they got close and saw it was an inner tube. And they were ready to say, oh, well, let's retreat. And they saw a little hand sticking up over the edge of the inner tube. And so they examined a little closer, and there was a five-year-old boy who had, his parents had drowned, they asked him. And because of the grace of God, and maybe children sometimes are able to resist temperatures longer, their heartbeat's a little higher, he was able to survive the hypothermia and is going to recover. And I remember hearing the story. The news commentator kind of shocked me, and she said, I don't know if she threw it in, it may not have been on the teleprompter, she said, we have something extra to be thankful for during this season, that this five-year-old survived. And I thought, that's a good perspective. You could have been mourning the 17 who drowned. But instead she chose to focus on this five-year-old boy who managed to survive the elements and the sea creatures and hang on for hours until he was rescued. Well, I was very thankful about that. And just goes to show that in any situation, you can find something for which to be thankful. Now, I'd like to suggest something to you. It's often true during Thanksgiving time that we pass around the microphone and we think about the things that we are thankful for. Often it's things we've received or protection. But I want you to think about something bad that's happened, that you have something to be thankful for in spite of it. Now, I'll set the stage for you so you know what it is I'm fishing for. And if I don't become so enthralled with the sound of my own voice and there's some time left over, I'm going to give you a chance to share that. But, you know, I'm very jealous for the sermon time. I don't want any sermonettes. But if you have something brief that you want to share, we may have time for you to do that. Not yet. Not yet. I'm not done yet. I want my turn first. If I give you your turn first, I may not get all of my turn. Let's go to the Scriptures. Turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, with thanksgiving. Now here, Paul is telling us, anxiety, never. Thankfulness, always. Now, what if you have nothing to be thankful for? For the Christian, that's not possible. That's what I'm saying. We always have things for which to be thankful. Some of you remember the story in The Hiding Place. Corrie Ten Boom relates that her sister Betsy, she felt was a glowing example of a genuinely converted Christian. Always had a positive perspective. And Betsy was telling Corrie, her sister, that in everything we can give thanks. And Corrie was struggling with a terrible situation there in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück. She said, how can you be thankful for this? We're being eaten alive by fleas. We're starving to death. It's the filth and the squalor is unmentionable. And she says, we can thank God for everything. The Lord commands us to be thankful for everything. She says, but the fleas, we can't be thankful for the fleas. And Betsy said, even for the fleas. Corey didn't know how that was possible. And then as a few weeks went by, they wondered why the guards used to torment them and plague them as they were working, but they never came into the barracks. And she finally heard one of the guards saying to the other guard, we don't go in the barracks because the fleas are unbearable. And then the Lord spoke to Corey and said, you can even thank God for the fleas. And so the idea is in every situation, you can find something for which to be thankful. You know, when we were up in Covelo, we invited some friends who helped us to produce the Net New York program, Jim and Denny Morgan. Some of you have seen on 3ABN the Lyle Albright Evangelistic Series. Well, they produced that, and they have their own TV ministry, and they volunteered their time. I'm so moved by their kindness. First of all, they came in 1996 to Andrews University at their own expense, lived there for 6 weeks, helped us produce that whole series, volunteered their time to do that. Then they came back again, took their family to New York City, that's mission work, and lived there in one room for 5 weeks, carried all of our equipment out there, hauled all of our equipment back, the video equipment, the computers, and this trailer going across the country in winter. And we invited them, we said, look, you guys need a break. Come on up to our cabin. So Jim and Denny and their two kids, they came up, Karen and I and our two kids. And the first night that we arrived, the temperatures dropped. And I noticed at 12 o'clock I went downstairs to get a drink and there was no water. Now you've got a family of four adults and four kids and no water. You have no idea how much you need water in that situation. I won't go into all the reasons you need water. But I thought, oh well, in the morning I'll pour some hot water in the pipes and thaw them out. Well, that morning I went downstairs and it was not frozen outside and the pipes still had no water. I found out that the pipes were not frozen. I thought maybe they're plugged. So I drove on the four-wheeler up the road. Well, first of all, I woke up that night and I was a little upset because I was thirsty and there's no water. It's very disappointing when you go and you expect to turn the spigot and get water and there's no water. But God in His mercy, we had brought a bottle of water in our car, so I still had something to drink. I got the water out of the car, something to be thankful for. Could complain that there's no water. Instead, I decided, Lord, I'm thankful I at least had something to drink. Went up to the tank and found out the water had become unplugged. We have bears that roam around up there, and they hear the water running in the tank, and they swap the pipe, they knock the pipe out of the tank, and so it was running out on the ground. So the tanks were drained. It takes a while for these 28,000-gallon tanks to fill up when you've got just a little sprig of water going in. And so I hooked it back up, and I knew in a few hours we should have at least water to operate with and wash dishes. But after hours went by, there was still no water. Well, I was upset because the demands were increasing as the dishes piled up there in the sink. And I saw Jim taking a 5-gallon bucket down to the pond to flush the toilets. And he's hauling, you know, you can do it that way. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that we have a pond. I could be complaining for the other problem, but I was thankful that we had a solution. And we didn't have water initially for dishes, but, you know, you can wash the dishes. We use paper plates. We thank the Lord for the paper plates. And I was starting to think, you know, because I was partway through this sermon, and I was getting pessimistic, negative about our situation. That here we had a house of eight people and no water. And I thought, now Doug, you're going to be preaching to the people about being positive. So I want you to practice what you're preaching. You know, the Lord does this to me all the time. When I get ready to stand up and tell you how to behave, the Lord tests me in that very behavior during the week. I don't always pass the test, but I have a chance to exemplify the thing I'm going to talk to you about during the week. And so the Lord was speaking to me and saying, now Doug, stop whining. You do have things for which to be thankful. And you know, we didn't have water for just about 24 hours, but in every situation, we finally found out what the problem was. There was air in the line. And I thank the Lord that He showed us what the problem was. And I pulled out this plug, bled off all the air, water came shooting down to the house. And you've never seen people so excited to turn on a spigot and have water come out of the spigot as we were in that house after just 8 hours of no water. We were very thankful. Now, that's a small sample of what I'm talking about today, is how Christians should be thankful in every situation. Let me give you a scripture, another scripture. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice in the Lord always. When things are going well, or always? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are we to give thanks for even the trials that come? You know, I remember the first time I read this scripture, I thought, give thanks for everything? I thought, well, I'll try this. Shortly after reading this passage, I was still up in the mountains in the cave. I stood up. My cave ceiling was low in one spot, and from time to time I'd forget, and I'd stand up too quick. And you know, it really smarts when you whack your head on a stone ceiling. And I stood up before I stepped out far enough, and I kabonged my head on the cave wall. And remember, I was a baby Christian. I was ready to let out a blue streak of superlatives that I can't repeat in church, because I still had all those things in my mind back then. I still have them in my mind now, but they don't ever come out anymore. And I was getting ready to, and also the Holy Spirit said, give thanks. But you got to be kidding me. Because I just whacked my head. That's crazy to thank the Lord for whacking your head. I thought, all right, this is the will of God. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? As soon as I thanked God for banging my head, it didn't hurt anymore. Now, you might think this is crazy, but thanking God in the trials changes your whole perspective and it stops being so trying. Thanking God in every situation is a pressure release valve. Are we to thank the Lord for our illness when it comes? Thank Him for our trials? I remember Benjamin Franklin said one time that the statement that most influenced his life was he heard somebody say, some people curse the thorns, others thank God that there are roses on the thorns. Well, I read where another pastor said, I thank God for the thorns. You know, some people think it's, one group says, oh, you focus that the cup is half full, and others praise the Lord, or praise the Lord because it's half full, and others are complaining because it's half empty. And the Christian thanks the Lord there's a cup no matter what's in it. You know what I'm saying? Do you thank Him for your thorns? Paul had a thorn in his side. He asked God to take away three times, and God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul thanked the Lord for his thorn. Everything that God allows to come into your life works together for good when you love the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, could it be that Paul is telling us that when we fail to give thanks, we contribute to quenching the Spirit? When we choose to give thanks in even trying situations, that it liberates the Spirit to operate in our lives? I wonder how many times, because of our pessimistic attitudes that are so natural, we've grieved away the Spirit when God could have really done something remarkable in our lives because we failed to thank Him for the thorns and the trials that come. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible tells us that after Daniel knew that his death decree had been signed, that if he would be caught praying, he was going to be executed. After he knew the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. You know, I'd like to submit it wasn't just Daniel's custom to pray three times a day. It was his custom to always thank God in every situation, every day. Even the day that he was going to be executed, as far as he knew, he was thanking God. Paul and Silas illustrate how important this is and how much thanks and praise can contribute to changing your situation. They're thrown in prison, Acts chapter 16, for doing good. Well, you can murmur and complain when you're persecuted for doing good. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we should whine when we're persecuted for doing the right thing? Or does Jesus say, rejoice and be exceeding glad if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake? That doesn't sound normal, does it? Who said Christianity is par? It's revolutionary. It's different. Paul demonstrated this. He's beaten and whipped, he and Silas, for saving a girl from a demon. They're thrown in a top security cell. It smells really bad. The Bible doesn't say that, but you can just assume it. They're surrounded by all these other prisoners. Their back has been laid open by a scourge. Their feet are fastened in the stocks. They can't ring for room service. Nobody's going to pay any attention to them. And what do? Job's wife said, curse God and die. Do you still retain your integrity? That's the normal thing to do. What's the matter with you, Job? After all these things happen, curse God and die. Isn't that what the world does? Seems normal. Christians are supposed to be abnormal. Paul and Silas, in spite of their physical suffering, in spite of everything in the environment that is saying that you're supposed to whine and cry and complain and murmur, they decide to sing praises to God. What happens? Because they choose to be thankful in all things, there's a great earthquake, they are liberated from their prison. If we could learn the secret to search and find cause for gratitude in every situation, our whole lives would be so much better. You know, I forget where it was I read that a person's happiness not so much depends on what happens to them, but how they respond to what happens to them. A lot of people moan and cry, and it's sort of pathetic. You'll meet people who tell you how unhappy they are because all these bad circumstances that happen to them. Their situation is unique. They've had just a long string of bad luck, and they want to, you know, play on your sympathy. I don't feel sorry for people like that, because I'm of the opinion that you're about as happy as you want to be, to quote Abraham Lincoln, that it's what you do with your situation that's going to make the difference. You can choose to rejoice. You know, I enjoyed reading about Thomas Edison this week. He was a very unique individual. He's not known for being especially religious, but he had a spirit that would not be dampened in almost any situation. His son records this story where Thomas Edison's son said he was busy working in his laboratory at 2:00 in the morning when an assistant came into the room and noticed the inventor was smiling broadly. The assistant said, Dr. Edison, did you solve the problem? He said, no, the experiment totally failed. But now I've discovered one more thing that won't work. I've made a discovery of one more thing that won't work. The road to success is often paved with disappointments. Each failure brought him a little closer to success. His son further recalls a freezing December night in 1914. Unfruitful experiments on the nickel-iron battery they were trying to work on for 10 years had put Edison in a financial disaster. He was on a tightrope. He still was making enough money from the profits from his movie and record production. On that December evening, a cry came out, fire, that echoed through his warehouse. They called that the Wizard Factory back then because he had patented so many inventions. Within minutes, all the packing, compounds, and celluloid from the records burst because of spontaneous combustions, and the whole building was soon in flames. Fire companies from 8 surrounding towns arrived, but the heat was so intense and the water pressure so low, attempts to douse the flames were futile. Everything was being destroyed. When he couldn't find his father, Edison's son became concerned. Was he safe? With all of his assets being destroyed, would his spirits be broken? Soon he saw his father in the plant yard running towards him. Where's your mother? Shouted the inventor. Go get her, son. Tell her to hurry up and bring her friends. They're never going to see a fire like this again. Edison called his employees together and made an incredible announcement before the smoke had even stopped ascending from the burnt ruins. We're rebuilding. He told one man to lease all the machine shops in the area. He told another one to contact the Erie Railroad. Then as an afterthought, he said, oh, by the way, does anyone know where we can get some money? Shortly after that, he yawned, he rolled up his coat and lay down on a table and went right to sleep. He looked at every situation as an opportunity to try something new, to proceed. And I wonder how much happier our lives would be if we could have a positive perspective. You know, it was interesting. This week, my daughter emailed me something. You know, people always email you little quotes and things. And I thought, you know, I might incorporate this in the sermon. And I accidentally deleted it. And then Don Grady emailed the very same thing to me. So I thought, well, I guess the Lord wants me to put this in the sermon. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the morning because it means I'm alive. The taxes that I pay because it means I'm employed. Have you ever thanked God for your taxes? The mess to clean up after the party because it means I've been surrounded by friends. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I'm eating enough. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing, because it means I've got a home. My shadow who watches me work, because it means I'm in the sunshine. The parking place I find at the far end of the lot, because it means I can walk. All the complaining about our government means we have freedom of speech. Who was it, Will Rogers, who said, we can be thankful we don't have all the government we're paying for. For my large heating bill, because it means I'm warm. For the lady behind me in church who sings off key, because it means I can hear. The piles of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. For weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I've been productive. And for your friendship, happy Thanksgiving. You know, if you look at every situation like that, then you can find something to be thankful for in everything. You've heard the expression, two men looked out of prison bars, one saw mud and one saw stars. It depends on what kind of creature you are. You can take an eagle, put him in a cage, he tries to find the loftiest perch and gazes at the sun. You put a buzzard in the same cage, he plops down on the ground and looks for something decomposing. The difference is, what kind of bird is it? A lot of people go through life negative, murmuring, complaining, because they choose to focus on what isn't going their way or what is interrupting their plans, self-pity. And when you do that, you grieve away the Holy Spirit. When you make a conscious choice to praise God in every situation, you invite God's Spirit to operate in your life. And you know what? You invite Him to change your situation. I think sometimes the Lord allows us to struggle and suffer to see if we can trust Him and thank Him through our trials. When we learn to do that, God says, they've learned this lesson, we go on to the next experience. Sometimes I think maybe God is just waiting for us to learn to thank Him in every situation. Dr. Alexander White in England was always famous for thanking God in all of his prayers. One night it was stormy and rainy and people were wondering what he was going to thank the Lord for during prayer meeting. It was this miserable weather outside. During his prayer he said, Dear Lord, we thank you. It's not always like this. You can always thank God for something. You heard the story about the parents that had boys that were twins. I'm not saying it's a true story. Fraternal twins. But they were complete opposites. One boy always looked on the bright side, always positive no matter what happened. He always was cheerful and thinking of something to be thankful for. The other boy, didn't matter how positive the situation was or how much he possessed, always looked at the negative and griped and complained. During Christmas, the parents demonstrated to some family friends how different their sons were. They said, now we want you to notice how they're going to react. The positive child in their room, they've got a wheelbarrow with manure, with a bow on it. The negative child has all these gizmos and toys that are advertised on TV. First, they open up the door, and there's the boy with all the new toys, and he's whining and throwing things around. He says, oh, the stuff's wrapped. I can't get the wrapping off. And, oh, this isn't what I wanted. It's going to take batteries. Where are the batteries? And just whining and complaining about all these new presents. They open up the other boy, and he's jumping up and down and dancing around the wheelbarrow with manure in it. He says, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And they said, why are you so happy? He said, with all this manure, there's got to be a pony somewhere. I knew you'd like that. There was this pastor, had a member in his congregation, a farmer, who complained about everything. And after one especially productive season, a bumper crop of potatoes, he went to visit the farmer and thought, what's he going to complain about now? He says, well, I hear that you had a great crop, Farmer Jones. And he said, yeah, but now I've got nothing, no rotten potatoes to feed my pigs. Complaining about everything. I understand that at the height of his career, Rudyard Kipling was so popular, even while he was alive, that some magazines were paying him 10 shillings per word for his writings and his little articles in their newspapers. Some college students didn't appreciate his writing very much, and they wrote a sarcastic letter to him, and they said, here's 10 shillings, we want you to send us your best word. And he wrote back, thanks, as his best word. Happiness comes when we stop wailing about the troubles we have and offer thanks to God for the troubles that we don't have. It was Henry Ward Beecher who said, if one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there were particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my clumsy fingers and be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and it would draw to itself the most invisible particles. The unthankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no mercies. But let a thankful heart sweep through the day, and like a magnet, it finds the iron. So we will find heavenly blessings. If we have the power of God's Spirit in our heart like a magnet, we will find in every situation the things for which to be thankful. Where when you don't have the magnet of God's Spirit to guide you in your thoughts, the devil will succeed in getting you to focus on the negative. Now, do we have a microphone handy? I'm sure we do. I would like you in short statements, if you've got something that may have at first looked negative, but you found something positive in that situation to be thankful for, I want to give you an opportunity to share that. I saw Patsy's got her hand up over here. Steve, if you could hand her the microphone. And so if you've got something concise you'd like to share, and others might be thinking of something.
I would like to stand up. My granddaughter is sleeping, though.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. This is what it is. I came a couple nights ago to prayer meeting. No car, no job. You know everything would happen to me. And so here I am crying. I says, Lord, there's no fate in me. There's nothing. Give up this fate. Give up everything. And then the Lord just revealed to me a scripture about the widow, that she kept on coming. And he said, will the Lord find fate when he comes? I said, oh, that's my problem. No fate. So I says, okay, Lord, I'm going to give all this to you. I'm not going to cry anymore. I'm not going to be sad anymore. I'm going to have the kind of faith you want me. So I pray and I give it to the Lord. Told my brother about it. He went and finds a car for me. He comes in prayer night meeting. I come here. He says, no, you got to call me. Find a car. I says, go. So we went. We got this car. It was only $300. I gave him $150. I owe him $200 more. But he's a Seventh Day Adventist.
So that means you don't have to pay him. Is that what that means?
I just said,
oh, you mean the man that you bought the car from?
He's a Seventh Day Adventist, and so he gave me the car, and so it was just wonderful the way the Lord brings out things. So I'm thankful for trials. I'm thankful for trials.
Amen.
Because they bring me closer.
The
and
trials,
I give him the glory.
That's what strengthens our faith muscles. Do you guys see some other hands here? We got a visitor right here. Okay, there's Stephen.
I'm thankful for the trials that I've endured for the all of my life. I'm going through a trial with my family, but the Lord sees where there's a trial in your family, there will be other family members to guide you along your way.
Amen. Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm real thankful. Several weeks ago, for my birthday a couple years, my wife gave me little teeny white dogs. They're little Maltese dogs. We had two of them. One was named Samson, and the other was named Delilah. They were Bible dogs. And I love these dogs, especially Samson. He had the long hair just like Samson in the Bible had and everything. And one day we were coming from my brother's house on a Sabbath, and this dog would get excited, and I was driving my truck, a big Dooley Dodge truck, and I ran over this little dog.
Oh.
And it broke my heart. There was no blood or anything, but, you know, I think it just killed the dog instantly. You know, but the Lord enabled me, even though in my sadness, to go through this. You know, we love our pets, but I'm thankful also. Just 2 weeks ago, little Delilah had five little puppies.
Amen.
And so now I have five little dogs, and I'm thankful for that. You know, God enables us to handle things as long as we look to Him.
Amen.
And we can be thankful.
Okay, is there a reader right here?
I like to give praise and glory to the Lord. Thursday. My daughter, I have a daughter that's real depressed, and she's having problems with the divorce. And I know she was real depressed about her not having her girls with her. And I talked to her on the phone for about 3 hours, and she was crying. She was saying she was wished she was dead. And she kept talking so negative about life and everything. And I kept telling her, you know what, life is what you make of it. And I remember what I went through and just what you said earlier. She's so negative about everything that's going on that she can't handle the trials. And I thank God that God gave me the words and told her, why don't you start thinking of the positive things? We have our health. Your kids are healthy. You have a home. You're not homeless anymore. Why don't you start thinking of the positive things? And I says, another thing, you're trying to play God. Why don't you try giving this stuff to God and let Him take it? So God was really giving me words to say. And she just kept crying harder and harder, and I didn't want to go to her home because I knew she wouldn't open the door. And she says, Mom, she goes, I can't take no more of this. And I just told her, you know what, you can take it. I says, you know what, God is just trying you, Stella. And what's wrong with you? You have lack of faith. Give it to Him and trust Him. And He's going to bring you through it. And praise the Lord, she's still in bed. She's still with cold. And she didn't do nothing that I thought she was planning to do. So I praise the Lord and thank God that He's given her another day.
That's right. All right, Martha, back here. She's exuberant.
Hi, my name is Martha Galletti.
Come a little closer, Martha. We want to get you on camera.
Oh, this is good, you guys. This is good.
All right.
My name is Martha Galletti, and I'm a flight attendant for American Airlines. And I had picked up a trip at the end of the month going on the first and the second. And it was great. I got in late on the second, but that's okay. I checked my schedule a week ago, and American Airlines, in their gracious ability to earn more money, gave me a 3-day trip instead of a 2-day trip. So now I was coming in to San Jose at 8:44 on Sabbath evening. I'm like, no, this can't be. So I got on my knees and I prayed, and I also prayed for my schedule for next month. Now, there's 2,000 flight attendants, approximately 2,000 flight attendants in San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland area. I put in the total of about 21 bids for the month of December, and I asked God, please give me my Sabbath off. Now, when I started this flying 15 years ago, I made a commitment with God. I will bid whatever it is on my schedule, and I'll keep my, that will not work on the Sabbath, and you are to honor my bids. 7 bids, total of 21 positions. I got my first choice, third position. I have to work first class, but hey, life is hard. So I got that. On Monday, I found out that I got that bid. I also found out that another flight attendant took my schedule and gave me her 2-day trip for my 3-day trip. Now I come back in on the second, my original 2-day, at 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was just like so excited. I was like out of my skin. I was just praying. I called Karen.
A miracle, right?
Yes. It was a total miracle. I called Karen. She wasn't home. Called Diane. I'm like, Diane, I can't believe it. So I told her. It gets better. The day goes on, and all my flight attendants are going, you just have too much PMA, positive mental attitude. I said, no, I'm praising my Lord. That's what I'm doing. We were leaving San Jose, could not shut one of the compartments. The luggage compartments. Well, I prayed and said, Dear Lord, I'm only doing a 1-day trip. You need me to get me back to my kids. Okay. Compartment shut. We're off. Get into Dallas, Fort Worth. Okay. So that's all right. We sit around for 2 hours. Leave. We hit a thunderstorm. We sat on the runway for an hour. Took off. We got hit by lightning. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. This is just awesome. The power of God is just great. You know, off the side wing, there's this huge explosion. Looks like day. And the people are looking at me, what's going on? I'm like, oh, we got hit by lightning. Don't worry about it. Got into Reno. The captain goes, we may have to spend the night here. And I'm like, no. I'm going to go home. The Lord knows that I need to take care of my children. And my flight attendant friends are going, you just have too much PMA. This is what's happening. We have too much PMA. Sure enough, because we got hit by lightning, there was a black spot near the nose of the aircraft, but it didn't harm anything. An hour and a half, and we had to leave Reno by 11:15. Otherwise, because of legalities, we were going to have to stay. We left Reno at 11 o'clock at night.
Amen.
Got to San Jose. Well, because of got to San Jose almost an hour later. But because of my schedule changed, I have lost an hour and a half in flying. Well, praise the Lord, I recovered the hour and a half in that day.
Amen.
So I got stuck. Got prayed, got over it, got hit by lightning, glorified the Lord, got home an hour late and recovered my hours.
Amen.
That was good.
He did you. Amen. That's very good.
That was good.
Thank you
amen.
So much. He did exactly what you had hoped and prayed for. I saw a couple of other hands of people. I like to get folks up front here. So, Ray, the cameras get to share.
This past week, we were kitchenless. They are repairing and renovating our kitchen floor and counter, so that we had no stove for about 4 days. We had no kitchen sink available to wash our dishes.
That's almost as bad as no water,
we
right?
would have to take our dishes to the nearest sink, which was one of the bathrooms. And before we realized it, Thanksgiving was around the corner, and we usually entertain friends and church family or go to other friends' home for Thanksgiving, and we decided just to stay home, just us four. And my wife prepared something. We sat on the floor, squatted around our coffee table, and we had a nice Thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord for everything that He has done for us. And we popped in a sermon, and we had worship, and we had a wonderful Thanksgiving, just us four. So we thank God that it worked out that way, even though we didn't have a kitchen.
Even though things were a little disrupted, He was
That's
still a blessing.
Right.
I saw a hand
Amen
over here.
To that.
Kimberly?
This negative thing was all based on my attitude, but it was a few months ago. I was on my way to church, and I looked back and could see that Don had not put the stroller in the van that I'd wanted him to put in, so I was kind of grumbling about that. And I got to church, and there was no parking places, and I was kind of grumbling about that.
Now, that's reason to praise the Lord.
Well, I wasn't there yet.
Have you praised the Lord that there's no parking at our church?
So
we could have the other problem.
I had to park far away down the few, you know, several blocks away, and I was kind of grumbling about that. And I had been thinking, I need to be more thankful. I had been thinking that just that morning or that night, the night before. And I'm getting out, putting the girls in the stroller, and I thought, well, I guess it's not too bad that Don didn't put the right stroller, and now they can both be in a stroller, and Emma doesn't have to walk this long distance. And I'm walking along thinking, the one day I wear high heel shoes after not wearing high heels, and I have to walk so far to get to church. And then I thought, some people don't have a choice of what shoes they get to wear to church. I should be thankful that I have more than one pair of Sabbath shoes. And it was a gorgeous day, and I thought, I should be thankful that it's not raining and that it's a beautiful day to walk in. And I just started kind of, by the time I got to church, my grumbly attitude was gone, and I was just very thankful.
Amen. That's
I found
very,
things to be thankful for.
That's the very thing I'm talking about is, you notice that when the devil comes to us, it's often like he nibbles at us with little irritations and things we want to feel sorry for ourselves and complain about. As soon as you recognize that, what Kimberly did is the very thing that I'm talking about. Instead of complaining that you've got to walk, thank the Lord that if I'm going to walk, it's sunny. You know what I'm saying? And so in any one of these situations, whatever your trials are, like the magnet in the stands, start looking for what can I thank God for, even the fleas, in this situation. Did I see another one? Yes.
I moved here from Michigan. Tomorrow will be 4 weeks. And I haven't found a job yet. But every time I don't get a response, or somebody turns me down, I remember that whatever God has for me, because he's going to give me a job, is going to be so much better than what just turned me down.
That's right.
So I continue to thank him because I know it gets better and better, because every job I apply for and don't get gets better and better.
So you have a really good job for that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. That's the right attitude. Well, let's see. Karen, we're going to have to start, and I want to start going to the left here. I think Karen's been patiently waiting. We have someone else right here? Okay.
Doug, you'll like this. I was in my office, and my Yellow Page ad representative was down there, and I really don't like dealing with them. It's a lot of high pressure. They always talk you into you need a full-page ad. Well, they came down. I wasn't looking forward to it. I was kind of dreading it the entire day. Guy gets down there with his representative. They bring one of the supervisors. As we're drawing up the ad, I pull out the pen to sign the contracts. It just happened to be an amazing fax pen that was given to my wife for doing camera work. So the guy looks at the pen and says, amazing fax. Oh, I watched Doug Batchelor on TV. I'm watching all the Net New York 99 series.
Wow.
So the two of us start talking. I say, he's the pastor at the church I go to. His assistant, who I don't know if she's very religious or not, got to listen to the two of us talking about the doctrines of the church, and the two of us got to witness to each other, and I think we may have planted a seed with the other person who is there who had never heard any of the doctrines about the state of the dead, about the Sabbath, and a lot of the other doctrines that this church holds valuable. So in
Amen.
Something that I was definitely not looking forward to, it gave us an opportunity to
Turn
witness.
Turn into a blessing.
Absolutely.
All from an amazing fact pen.
All from an amazing facts pen.
You'll get your pens. I saw a couple of hands over here. I want to spread. Oh, Scott's got one there. Right here, John. So hold your hand up, John. There you go.
I'd like to thank the Lord that through my job, talking to people on the telephone, that he has taught me patience and given me an ability to listen to people. And I'm thankful for that and the opportunity to witness to people on telephone when I do have the chance.
Now, at the time, you may not have been thankful that you were going through that, but looking back,
no.
You're thankful now, right?
Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, this week, my next-door neighbor, the Henry Tosca, was fiddling with her car, and I was able to help her a little bit with a minor repair. And I spent years doing mechanic work, and I hated it. I thought it was a waste of time. I knew God had called me to work for him, and I thought, why am I spending my time working on greasy trucks? You know how many times I thank the Lord now, looking back, that I learned a little basics in mechanic work? How many times that's come in handy? At the time, I wasn't thankful. Who's next here? Okay, go ahead.
About 2 or 3 years ago, I got bit by a dog in the face, and I'm glad that I'm thankful that it didn't leave a scar and that I didn't have to go to the hospital for very long.
Amen. Okay, Lola?
I had an experience this morning when I got up. I discovered the car wouldn't start. Well, Bill and I both were upset about it at first, and then we had to stop and think. Number one, we have another car to use. Number two, we can get the battery replaced. There was a time we could not do that. So we have more to be thankful for than just...
Amen. Let me read something to you. You reminded me of a story I've got here. You've heard me share before about Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator and preacher, got robbed. And he recorded in his diary that day after he was robbed, he said, "First, let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't very much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not robbing." So he found four things to thank the Lord for after being robbed. Now, there's a good attitude, right? You know, I heard about this little girl, 3 years old. Her friend fell in the swimming pool. And she grabbed him by the hair. He couldn't swim. You know, he's a three-year-old also. And she held his head above water, and she screamed for help. And pretty soon someone came to rescue the little boy. Everyone else called her a hero. But she was disappointed. And they said, "What's the problem?" She said, "He doesn't want to play with me anymore because I pulled his hair." I saw another hand back here. Yes, Cheryl?
I've been hating my job for a really long time, but I've been waiting for the Lord to take me out of it. And a opportunity for a trip to Chicago came up for another person in my office. I had met somebody over a prayer board in Chicago about a year ago, and I've been slowly witnessing to her the truth. And so he said, "I don't want to go to Chicago. Do you want to go?" And I was like, "Yes, do I want to go to Chicago?" Because I knew I would never really be able to afford to go to Chicago. So I was able to spend 4 extra days at her house, and I took Amazing Facts videos and Bible studies and booklets and tracks and everything else, and was able to spend time with her family also and attend church on Sunday. And I was praying on Sunday at church for this pastor to speak the truth. I was like, just give him the truth. And it was very interesting because he spoke on not only being hearers of the word, but doers also.
Oh,
and she said that she was beginning to see the Sabbath and she was going to study it out. And so the Lord has kept me in my job at least long enough to be able to go to Chicago and plant the little tiny seeds.
Amen. You know, there's a legend one day that these two angels were sent to earth with baskets. And one had a basket that was supposed to collect all the petitions, and another angel had the basket, and he was supposed to retrieve all of the expressions of gratitude and thanks. And after they spent a day going around the world, one came back with his basket of petitions, just running over, bursting at the seams, and the other one had just a handful of thanks in his basket. They say that the letters that come into Santa Claus at the post office asking for things outnumber the letters of gratitude for things received about 10,000 to 1. The post office receives hundreds and hundreds and thousands of letters from kids that are all addressed North Pole. And you know, there's actually a town called North Pole up in Alaska, but it's not at the North Pole. A lot of letters end up there that really are supposed to be for Santa Claus. And you can count 10,000 letters to Santa with these kids requesting what they want for every one letter where they thank Santa Claus for what they've received. During the Vietnam War, there was a couple sitting in church, and the husband and wife, and they were listening as this family was making a donation of thousands of dollars in behalf of their son who died in the war, a memorial donation to help with their building project. And the wife nudged her husband. She said, let's give him a memorial donation for our son. And the husband said, "But our son came home alive." And she said, "Exactly." Another pastor during the days before airplanes was reading the announcements during church. And he said, "We offer our condolences for 9 members that were lost at sea." Everybody was shocked that 9 of the members had been lost at sea. They didn't realize that this catastrophe had struck the church. And they said, "Who was it?" And he said, "Well, I'm not sure exactly who it was, but I know that we received 10 petitions for safety, travel, sailing. I've only received 1 petition of gratitude for a safe return. I'm assuming the other 9 were lost at sea." We often forget to express our thanks to God We have our petitions for what we want, but we forget to thank Him when we do receive the answers to our prayers. Does it make sense that our gratitude should be equal to our benefits? Now, you can't remember everything God has given you. How many of you remember during the opening scripture reading? Psalms 103. It says, forget not all of His benefits. God is not asking us to remember them all. He's just saying, please don't forget them all. Amen? I saw another hand or two here of somebody. Yes.
I was praying a long time ago for the Lord to give me the word, His word in my heart. And I was wondering why I could not study the Bible like I should. And every time I would read a scripture or read Psalms or try to memorize something, I'd go to sleep. Well, the Lord gave me like 5 years ago some records on the Bible. And I pulled them out and I started reading and listening. And now it's like I can memorize the Bible by listening and reading and going throughout the house. So through my frustration, the Lord made a way. He had already made the way. I just didn't look for it.
Amen. You know, I was reading in that book. You don't mind if I interject my own little things in between yours. How many of you heard of those books, Chicken Soup for the Soul? I picked one up yesterday and was reading about this man who, he and his wife had a beautiful million-dollar mansion in Aspen, Colorado on a hillside. They'd spent years saving for it, building it. They designed it. And one day they came up to their mansion for a ski trip and discovered that an avalanche had come through and absolutely demolished the building after all of their work, and they did not have avalanche insurance. Just completely leveled the house. Well, months went by, and the man was just wondering why God had allowed this catastrophe to come into his life. And a friend called, and the friend was calling and apologizing for the delay that she had called when they were going to their cabin. And he said, what are you talking about? And she said, didn't your wife tell you that the day that your house was destroyed by the avalanche, I lost control of my Suburban, and it slid across the road, and one end of the, you know, they're like boats, those cars, one end of it wedged into the snowbank on one side, the tail end wedged into the snowbank on the other side, completely blocking the road. And she said, your wife, I blocked her as she and the children were trying to get up to the cabin for an hour. And it was during that hour the avalanche came. And the husband said it had never occurred to him how much he had to be thankful for. Here he was moaning the loss of their house, and God had actually spared the family. You know, one reason we're unthankful is because we don't have God's eyes. Sometimes we must choose to be thankful even if we cannot see what there is to be thankful for, knowing that if we had eyes of faith, if we could see all things as God sees, we'd see that in the long run, in the future, looking back, in perspective, God is somehow blessing us. You may not see it at the time. I never felt like when I was doing greasy mechanic work, it was something to be thankful. But as time went by, you look back. You know, in eternity, we're going to look back and see there's things for which to be thankful that we didn't recognize now. You know what that means? God wants us to be thankful now, even when we don't feel like it, even if we can't figure it out. Let me read you a story. There's a true story about a king in Africa who had a close friend that he grew up with. The friend had a habit of looking at every situation that occurred, whether it was positive or negative, by saying, "This is good." No matter what happened, he always said, "This is good." One day, the king and his good friend were out on a hunting expedition. The friend was in the habit of loading and preparing the king's rifle as the king would hunt. But the friend apparently misloaded the rifle, which caused it to misfire, and it blew off one of the king's thumbs. Examining the situation, the friend remarked as usual, "This is good." To which the king was very angry, and he replied, "No, this is not good." And then he sent his friend to jail. About a year later, the king was hunting in another area that he should have stayed away from, and he was captured by cannibals. And they took him to their village. They tied his hands and stacked some wood and set a stake and bound him to the stake. As they came near to set the fire, they noticed that the king was missing a thumb. Being a very superstitious people and knowing they should never eat anyone that was anything less than perfect, they untied the king and let him go his way. On his way home, the king was beginning to feel very bad that here he had taken his friend for over a year and placed him in jail because he had accidentally blown off his thumb. He went immediately to the jail to speak with his friend. He said, "You were right. It was good that my thumb was blown off." And he proceeded to tell his friend all that had just happened. "And so I am very sorry to send you, that I sent you to jail for so long. This was a bad thing for me to do." To which his friend replied, "No, this is good." And the king says, "What do you mean this is good? How can it be good when I send my friend to jail? If I had not been in jail, I would have been with you." Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose." You know, I heard one time about a man who broke into a house to steal from an old lady, and he recognized that it was his third grade school teacher. And he said, "You were always so good to me." And he kissed her on the cheek, and then he and his accomplice proceeded to steal $210. Sometimes we say we're grateful, but we don't act like we're grateful. What's the most important thing we can do to show our gratitude to God? To take the cup of salvation that he's offered and to be willing to do his will. Amen? You know, the Lord has surrounded us with blessings. R.W. Barber puts it this way, "The Lord's goodness surrounds us every moment. I walk through it almost with difficulty, as though through thick grass and flowers." God's blessings are around us all the time. It's the devil's job to get us to focus on the negative. And God and his Spirit wants to guide us to trust him and to thank him in all things. Is that your desire, friends, to be a thankful people? If so, please turn in your hymnals to 565. And we'll sing this positive hymn together, "For the Beauty of the Earth." Let's stand as we sing 565. Sing the next verse, I like to give people an opportunity to respond to the word. If you've recognized, as I have, that in your life you fail to be thankful, not only for the blessings, sometimes we fail to thank God for the thorns, and you'd like to say, "Lord, please give me the Spirit like a magnet to help me recognize all these blessings that you give that are sometimes camouflaged as trials." Is that your prayer, friends? Lord, help me to be thankful in all things. Let's sing verse 2. Now, some of you maybe have been going through some trials of your own. It's easier for a person to talk about having a positive perspective when you're buried in blessings. Some of you are having trouble seeing light at the end of the tunnel because of whatever trials you might be going through. You'd ask the Lord to break the shell and let the light come through. I'd like to give you an opportunity to come to the front for special prayer. Some of you maybe would like to ask God to forgive you for being ungrateful. Some of you maybe would like to come and say, "Lord, I'm struggling to see where the blessing is in the trial or the struggles I'm going through right now, but I'm going to thank you no matter what." You might want to bring that to the Lord. Some of you might want to just come and express your gratitude and your thankfulness for God's Son and what Jesus has done in giving you hope of everlasting life. But if you have some special need, if you'd like to come, we'd like to especially give ourselves as a signal of our thanks as we sing verse 3. In heaven, Lord, I believe the angels are singing as you recognize here this morning this demonstration of thankfulness and gratitude. We have so much to thank you for, Lord, that it's impossible for us to recount even a small fraction of the blessings that you shower on us. The life, the degree of health that we enjoy, the family, the friends, Lord, and especially we thank you for the indescribable gift, the sacrifice that you have made in sending Jesus your Son, that we might be forgiven of all of our transgressions, that we might be forgiven of our ingratitude for taking you for granted. Lord, we want to ask now that you will forgive us for our murmuring and complaining. We know it's this feature that expelled the children of Israel from the Promised Land. A whole generation was lost for their complaining. Lord, I pray that we can learn those lessons and learn to trust and to thank you even through our trials, even through the thorns. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the gift of the Spirit so like Paul and Silas and Daniel, like Joseph, we can choose to be thankful whatever circumstances might come. We might take those circumstances and use them as opportunities to praise you and to thank you, knowing that you will work all things together for good. I pray, Lord, that you'll really help us put this into practice, both today and in our lives always. And now we thank you, not only for the trials, but for the many, many blessings. I pray that we can be a joyful people, that we will make Christianity contagious by our positive perspective. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2000, American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 1-717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Visit our website on the internet at www.americancassette.org. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Answering the heart cry of the faithful for over 24 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.